FindingImpact.com. FindingImpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.
Hey everyone, my name is Andy Narricott and you're listening to Finding Impact, the show where we find the challenges facing social entrepreneurs and we bring on the guests to help solve them. Today we've got Juliana Proserpio from Sydney, Australia. Thanks so much, Juliana, for coming on. We're going to be talking about using design thinking in the need finding process. Juliana is from Ecos Innovation Lab. Juliana, welcome onto the show.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here and talk about design thinking.
Great. And as a previous listener as well, it's a pleasure to have you on. So let's kick off. Can you tell us about what is Ecos Innovation Lab? Tell me about your work.
Yeah, sure. So Ecos Innovation Lab is an innovation lab, obviously, that helps organizations and society to design desirable futures. So basically, we use the design thinking mindset to accelerate cultural change, create new services, new business model that create innovation for good.
Okay. So it's can be used. So do you work with clients? How do you separate? You're a nonprofit or an agency?
So we are a for-profit organization. We work with different kinds of organizations. Usually they are businesses. So we help them, and depending on what they are doing, we help them create and foster ecosystems. For example, we're working now with Google, with the Google News Initiative, helping to design the future for news and media in APAC. Sometimes we help organizations by building their design thinking capability and training them to understand how they can create better services, being more human-centered. And sometimes we help individuals even. We also have the School of Design Thinking that help people to become more innovative, to design better services and design better futures for themselves and for their society.
So why design thinking? Why is it useful to, you know, to help address some of these complex problems?
So I guess design thinking is a way to understand people better and people's needs. Mm-hmm. And how do we create a solution that is based on people's needs? So basically, we see innovation is a big word, is the best word, right? But the way how we see innovation is that innovation means perceived value, right? So for us to create real change and real impact, we need to understand where is the perceived value? Where can we help this customer or this society in a way? And design thinking is the link to that, because it is human-centered and it helps us to empathize and understand the users, the partners, the clients, the stakeholders who we are trying to design for in order to create a better solution. So design thinking is based on empathy, of course, on collaboration and experimentation. So anything that you're trying to create, you can kind of use this mindset and also the methodology to accelerate how you're going to create this solution that is going to create value for people.
Okay. And you mentioned a methodology. So this is something that anyone can adopt. You know, I mean, we've covered design thinking on the show before, but, you know, this specifically within sort of finding, within using it for a need finding process, is this a process and a methodology that people can follow to really center in on addressing or framing the right problem, framing the problem better?
Yes. So with design thinking, you can see it with as a mindset, but you can also see it as a methodology. And as a methodology, I don't know if you probably discussed already in the show, but there is something called the double diamond, right? Which is a methodology of seeing how do you see moments of divergence where you expand your knowledge and you understand your user better, you understand the need, and then you converge and you synthesize where is the real need, where is the real value that you're going to be creating for these users, for these clients. And then finally, you start to diverge again. You start to ideate. You start to speculate ideas and possibilities of what this product, business model, social service you're trying to create. And then you converge again, you create options and prototypes, and then you finally test with your users again. So I think this methodology is really, really user-based and human-centered, because it's always bringing people to the center of the process, right? Mm. So at the beginning, when you are, for example, diverging and trying to understand the problem, you are doing research, empathetic research, and we're trying to really put them at the center of the challenge. When you are synthesizing and you are creating kind of like the idea of what, trying to really understand, you're putting people at the center again. You're creating something called personas, that you're putting people at the center of the problem again and of the building of the solution as well. And then when you are ideating in design thinking, you can also co-create. So you design solutions with and not for. So it makes you smarter. You're bringing collective intelligence. You're putting people at the center of the decisions again. And then finally, when you prototype and test, you're prototyping and testing with your users, with your clients, so you're putting people at the center of the decisions again, right? So it's really, really human-centered. So I think that's why there is this direct link to creating social impact.
Mm. So making sure that it really works for people rather than imposing solutions on people. I would love to break down that methodology, you know, in more detail. You've talked about this double diamond approach, this diverging, sort of expanding and then coming back into more specifics. And then, you know, and you've talked about research, personas, ideating, prototype. Is what's so the top line process, is that the research starts with research, right?
Yeah. So the top line would be, we call it, you can call it multiple ways, but the easiest way is, I think we would call it discovery, right? So you'd be doing empathetic research. You'll be understanding your users. And the way how you can do that is by interviewing people, listening mm-hmm. to what people have to say. You would also be observing people in their situations and in their context, trying to bring knowledge from ethnographical perspectives, really, because sometimes when you're trying to observe a problem or a challenge, people don't always say what they really struggle with.
Yeah.
So you need to observe, you need to empathize. And then you can also do another kind of research that is, you're going to be trying to be putting yourselves in the shoes of them by kind of performing the same kind of activities or challenges that they face daily, right? You really be feeling. So when you are interviewing, you are listening. When you are observing, you're seeing. And when you're doing this immersion that you're doing, you're trying to perform these challenges by yourselves, you're really feeling it. So with this triangulation of research, you start to do this discovery. And then you're opening kind of understanding, but you're always being formed by those who are really facing these challenges or needs or whatever. So this is the first, let's say, phase, that is the discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep going. So you've got this really embedding or really putting people in the center of that discovery process. And it's asking a lot of people to take their time, to observe them, to interview them, but it's essential, right? You can't skimp on that. Getting out of the building, talking to people, observing is absolutely essential. And this is what I'm hearing in this need finding process is so critically important, and which people are maybe a little bit afraid to do, but it's an absolute must.
Look, obviously, I think this is essential, right? That's what we have been learning. And I think sometimes when you don't do it, what it happens is that, yeah, you cut to the chase, but then you're creating a solution to the wrong problems, to the wrong needs, right? And then you're not really going to creating an impact. I think we've seen a few cases out there that they were trying to cut to the chase and then they couldn't really see the results. Right, they couldn't see the impact, or maybe they were creating an impact in one way, but creating so many other consequences that the real impact, the sum, would not be positive. Right, so usually there's a discovery phase, then you synthesize all of this information.
Synthesize. So that's the next step. Is it synthesize?
Yeah, then you synthesize this information, because us humans, it's really hard to create a solution for 1,000 problems, right? So you synthesize, you kind of collide things and you start to create insights. So what is the core thing that is really going to create impact? Or even if you are starting your own business, what are the things that you can influence that you have the ability to create change? Because sometimes the challenge is so big and you cannot really start by there, but maybe you can understand, oh, this is a challenge, it's a real challenge, and this is where I can create impact. This is where I can interfere, right? And then by synthesizing and understanding where is that you're going to be creating value, where are the things that you're going to tackle, then you start to go to the next phase, that is the ideation phase.
Okay,
so then you diverge again.
Sorry. No. I want to go into more levels deeper. So synthesize, I've struggled with in the past, and many people do it. So this is a big word. How do you arrive at insight? Is this something that you feel and you get a light bulb moment and you just, it sort of happens to you? Or is there a way that you can, you know, bring all this methodically, I like process, bring all this research data together that you've gathered masses of probably data from so much interviews and observations. How do you bring that down into some insights and, you know, so is there any sort of tips and tricks you can help with there?
Yeah, so getting to an insight is not easy at all, right? So it only seems obvious after you've kind of reached it, right? But before that, there is a lot of hard work. So there are many tools that we use for that. So when we're synthesizing, we also call this phase creating a point of view, right? So you could use something that it's called a systems map. You could use something that is called a persona, or multiple personas. So you're trying to create patterns of the profiles of these people that you have been interviewing and observing so that you can synthesize all of this information to something that is very concise and unique and that it's human-centered in a way. We usually use a lot of visual, let's say, cues, right? So we tend to like bring up all of this information from the research phase. And then when we are working in a team, or even if you're working alone or in pair, we start to put everything in the wall, one information per post-it. Let's say we use a lot of post-its. And then we start to cluster them and try to understand the meaning of these clusters. Why maybe this information is connected to this information? When you're colliding information is when kind of these insights emerge. You're trying to look for patterns. You're trying to look for resonances. And then when you are colliding this information, maybe these kind of insights would emerge, right? You can also use another technique is to use analogies to try to translate what you're seeing in that ecosystem over there or in this challenge that you are diving and trying to understand better.
Mm. So it sounds like it's putting two pieces of information together or groups and seeing together what those two pieces of information mean or what they could mean. So you're bringing this, for me this is when I've had one idea in my mind I'm looking at something and then something else will come. I'm looking at new information and then I have a new idea because I'm sort of thinking in a way of something else. So I think it's for me, you know, it's putting all those post-it pieces of information together, grouping them in different ways and seeing what patterns emerge, what does it feel right? And there's a lot of intuition there, right? It's, you can't tell somebody, you know, you're feeling it from your context, from your experiences, from your learning, from your points of view, your cultural upbringing. Everyone sees information in different ways, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, there is, I mean, just one thing that I would like to point is that of course, there is a lot of intuition, but we should avoid preconceptions, right? Because if you come with a strict, already preformed point of view, if you want to only see their perspective, you're only going to find what you're trying to find, right? So if you go out in the street doing research, for example, I want to find people wearing a black shirt, you're only going to be finding that. But you're missing all the other opportunities and all the other things that are out there, people wearing red, people wearing white or stuff like that. So I think it's important, yes, follow intuition, but be aware of not bringing the preconceptions too much, because it's not going to make you create a new perspective or have a very profound and real insight. Because but when using design thinking and trying to understand the opportunity, I think it's about letting the people who are part of the challenge tell you where the problem is, right?
Yeah. And I think working in teams helps avoid some of these biases, because people can point those out. You know, everyone has blind spots. Everyone has biases that you don't really know you have. And if you're working in teams, other people can sort of help you see those that you can't see, and that's natural.
Absolutely.
Ideation is the next stage.
So ideation, of course, everyone sees as the fun part, right? Because you can go crazy. And it is a phase that we call that it's a phase of divergency. And in this phase, it's important for us to think about quantity and not necessarily only quality, right? There is a graph from a researcher that says that you can only get to an amazing idea once you get to an absurd idea. So you need to kind of get silly. You need to kind of let your imagination fly away and not bring negative criticism whenever you're creating ideas. Because usually your first ideas, after you frame the problem, you frame where the opportunity is, where you need to deliver value, you start to ideate. Usually your first ideas are the ideas that you already had, right? Mm. That are the status quo. And then if you get stuck on there, you're not going to create anything that is innovative and that it's really going to create value or impact, or is going to be delivering in a different way.
So a lot of brainstorming as well, right? So you're
this
looking
is
for
we brainstorm a lot.
Quantity, not quality, going for value. And then how do you sift through those and evaluate those ideas that you have? Because you withhold judgment, right? You wait for until the end.
I think there are phases of ideation, right? There is a phase of ideation where you're going crazy and then you're bringing prompts. You're trying to, what if, you're using lots of what ifs. What if I do that? What if I do that? What if I bring this kind of technology? What if I use this other way? What if we needed to do the opposite of what we're trying to do? So you're trying to bring this what ifs to expand and diverge and to expand your ideas. And then finally, you need to synthesize again. You need to converge again. So again, I think it's a work of synthesis. And I think because you kind of have already framed where the opportunity is, you're going to be clustering ideas, thinking what fits together. But then you're going to be going back to your how you found your opportunity. And you're going to, okay, what fits better? What it's really responding to this opportunity that I found, to the challenge that I'm really trying to solve. So I think that this is key. And again, what are the things that I can interfere as a social entrepreneur or as a business? What are the things that I can interfere and that I can work for it? Because sometimes it's out of your... How can I say? It's out of your reach, right? So it's kind of hard. Of course, these things you can impact maybe after you've done your first step, right? Sometimes we want to tackle too many things at once, and then you end up not creating any kind of impact at all because you're trying everything at once. So it's also important to, okay, what are the things that I can do? How do you frame the opportunity? Maybe one way to think what's going to be creating more impact, and then you kind of choose this idea, or B, what are the things that I can interfere on, or what are the things that are the most pressing need by this micro community, or something like that.
Mm. And you mentioned something about, looking back to the problem that you're trying to solve, or your design question in the first place. That relies on knowing what your problem is very well in the first place. So is there a sort of process of iteration where you might go back and sort of change your design process slightly because you've understood more about the problem?
Sure. Yeah, it's very iterative, right? So we're talking as if it was phase one, phase two, phase three, but it's a bit more chaotic than that. But yeah, when you are going back, you're not necessarily going back to the first question that you pose, but actually to the synthesis. After doing research, this is the thing that you need to solve, right? And then you're focusing on this one. But yeah, sometimes it changes from your initial question or challenge.
Hmm. Excellent. And then, so you're prototyping, is that right? Next is to sort of test out some of those shortlisted concepts that you've come up with.
Yeah. So then after that, after the ideation, you chose a few solutions that you want to move forward, and then you prototype. So when we are prototyping, for us, prototyping means experimentation, right? Because you created a new solution, a new idea, a new business model, or whatever it is, if this is something that is really new, you cannot prove that this is going to work, that this is really going to create impact, unless you experiment, unless you try things out. So that's why we usually say you need to test soon, you need to prototype soon, and maybe fail a little bit, and then recover and iterate in order to have success earlier, right? So when you are prototyping, there is one phase of the one aspect of the prototype that you're building your idea, you're building to think. So it means that you had this crazy idea, this amazing solution, but then when you start to build it, sometimes things change. Oh, you cannot do this. Maybe this is not going to work. And then there is the other aspect that you are testing it. So you're creating something that is going to be the first concept of your solution, and you're showing this to your users, to the people who are going to be using it, and they are going to be giving you feedback. And then they say, oh, this is not going to be solving my problem. Okay, so I have to change it. And then you iterate it. And then you, with this process that it's very iterative, the idea is that you're going to be creating a solution that is really going to be creating value and change.
Mm. Yeah, great. I'd love to come back to one thing you've mentioned earlier, that you said design thinking is part mindset and part methodology. What do you mean by that? What is, we've just been through the methodology, but how does that differ to just being, it's a mindset?
Thank you for the question, because I think it's important to discuss that as well. If you see design thinking only as a methodology, you're going to be following it as if it was a cake recipe, right? And this is not going to work, right, at all. If you see design thinking, it's going to support you a methodology, and there are multiple books. We have a toolkit. Many people have toolkits that you can kind of follow and see it through. And I encourage you to do that. But see it as a mindset. It makes you understand that you need to be empathetic, that you need to really put yourselves in the shoes of other. It makes you understand that you need to collaborate not only with your peers, but with the community who you're trying to serve. They have the expertise, right? And it makes you understand that you need to experiment. Also, I think one key thing is that it really helps you to build creative confidence, right? Because if we as entrepreneurs, designers, creatives, social innovators, if we don't have creative confidence and we're not trying to create something new, we're probably just kind of like going in circle and not really creating the best solution for what it's needed. Right.
So creative confidence, tell me more about that word. I've heard that before. Is that, yeah, what does that mean to you?
I think it means that you have confidence to reimagine how the world can be. I think in its essence, I think that's what it means, right? And I think that's why design thinking helps us to get there, because design is this constant, let's say, way of thinking that, oh, this is not right. We can make it better, right? And if we can make it better, you need to be confident enough that you can build something better, right? Mm. If you are afraid of trying something new, you're not going to be able to get there, because you're going to create blocks or barriers for yourself. And you're going to be trying to do the same thing.
So it's being bold, it's being confident that you can make change, that nothing is set in stone, to reinventing something and solving problems. It gives you that confidence to move forward and tackling a big problem.
Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give for students who are, you know, thinking of identifying big problems worth solving, maybe for new ventures, for new nonprofits? What is your advice for them for how they can use this to aid in their need finding process?
I think that's probably is to try to look out for challenges and problems that are near their doors, from within their communities, where they are connected, where they can be close to their users or audiences, that they can really interview and do research and help. As a designer, social entrepreneur, you are more like a translator, an interceptor to kind of make these become a solution than actually a hero, right? I think that sometimes we think that, oh, I'm gonna solve all the world's problems, but acting locally, starting small, honoring what you have around you, and trying to create value and helping and trying to create something that is better for your own community, I think that's always is smart and makes us kind of learn a lot as well. And then after you kind of learn from it, then you can maybe be a bit bolder and bigger and try to dream of creating bigger impact.
But starting at your doorstep more local gives you access to people as well. It helps you apply some of the principles of design thinking. And as you say, yeah, build your confidence to be able to take on bigger challenges.
I think probably like dream big and start small. I think that would be a good one to think about if you are a student or starting.
We haven't talked about the School of Design Thinking. That's something you're involved in?
Yes, it's one of our business units as well.
Okay, so tell me more about that. How do people participate?
So the reason why we created the School of Design Thinking is to help people to become better innovators, right, and to shape their future. So how do you participate? We have multiple programs. You can participate in an experience that is a short course on design thinking, service design, or even designing futures. We also have online courses such as design thinking. We're now launching something that is called the digital product launch. This should help you to create digital products. So you can kind of learn on the go. And then always the basis is obviously design thinking. And then you get to the specifics, right? Maybe you are designing something more strategic, designing futures, or maybe you're designing something that is a service, then you do the service design. If you are designing a new business model, you can do the business design. If you're thinking about social innovation, you can do the design social innovation one. So it's kind of building blocks of knowledge and learning experiences.
Brilliant. So that's how do people access those, the School of Design Thinking? Is that via your website?
Yes. So you can go to schooldesignthinking.ecos.cc. You can find it there. All of our courses are available. We also have a lot of free stuff and downloadable materials, the Design Thinking Toolkit. We also have The Power of Design. That is an ebook and many, many things that you can download for free and start applying. Or you can also apply to one of our courses.
Excellent. Can you give an example? I'd love to hear how some of your students have applied the design thinking to the need finding process and, you know, help them, you know, deliver the best outcomes for their projects.
So I guess, I mean, there is one participant in one of our courses. She did the social innovation course. This was back in Brazil. And she's the founder of a business that it's called Insecta Shoes. And Insecta Shoes is an amazing business model, I think. And they have a very systemic mindset. So I think that when she was doing the designing for social innovation course, she kind of started to learn more about how to do interviews, how to understand more the process and map the system in a way so that I can kind of create a virtual circle in her business model. So she basically creates shoes that are 100% sustainable and recyclable. But then she started to expand to kind of see what are all the touch points of her system, of her ecosystem. How is the producer being impacted? How is the end user being impacted? What do they think? How they want to be more engaged? How can she impact even more their lives and become even more sustainable? So I think that now what they are doing, I find it amazing, their business model and their way of thinking is that they are not only like a shoes, let's say, shop, but also about the mindset of recycled products and being sustainable. And they show the stories of the producer, how they're impacting them. So it's really, really, I think that they are using design for systemic change, which is amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Fantastic. I think finally, I'd love to know, you know, we are in the time of COVID-19. There's not much going out into our neighborhood we can do at the moment. So I was wondering if you have any advice for first-time founders or, you know, those who are interested, how they can navigate the social enterprise ecosystem at this time of lockdown.
Look, I think one of the things that it's important to think about COVID-19 is that it is an opportunity for us to redesign our world. I can totally see it that way. We are, every assumption, everything is being challenged. So it is an opportunity to redesign things. So if you are someone who is starting something new, you need to understand what are your customers or users needing now. Probably their needs changed, right? So you probably need to do research and understand that better. How can you help them now? How can you help them after these things has passed? What are their main struggles? If you are someone who already have a business that is running, how are you going to adapt and pivot your product offer, your business model, in order to become relevant nowadays? Many people and many businesses lost their revenue. Maybe even like people are suffering for lack of donations. Everyone is tight. How do you create something that is really valuable? So I think that design thinking can help you to reevaluate and adapt and pivot or create something that is really, really important for the people now.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. That's some really great advice. Juliana, thanks so much for coming on. And again, direct everyone to schoolofdesignthinking.ecos.cc. ECHOS is ECHOS.cc to find out more and just use these incredible tools and get in the mindset and build your creative confidence. So Juliana, thank you for coming onto the show and sharing your experience with us.
Thank you.
Findingimpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.